ready? Of course you're ready. You're always ready. Jason's always ready. If you're out there listening and you need a podcast producer, you need someone like Jason, I wouldn't take Jason. Please don't take Jason.
No.
But you need someone like Jason.
I would request that he not wear shorts, though.
Can you imagine somebody wearing shorts? Oh, wait.
Who would wear shorts?
Oh, I wear shorts
in whenever March I can. To a podcast.
Yeah, for sure. Anytime I can. Yep.
I was just saying, your fashion today is...
Oh, it's through the roof.
Striking.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yes. I'm always looking for the latest trends and, like, how can I...
I'm pretty sure khaki shorts in March is not the latest trend.
Oh, well, you missed my sarcasm if you thought I was being serious.
I'm just saying, if you guys are watching, sorry. If you're listening,
you're welcome.
You are blessed.
Yeah. Now, yeah, I think I'm just, my head, I actually leave for Florida tomorrow for like 5 days, and I think I'm just like ready to get a head start on.
Ready to roll.
Because today it's like 55 degrees, which is amazing for March.
It is nice outside.
So, you know, and since I don't have chicken legs, my legs just don't get cold.
Yeah.
Like they really don't. I could probably wear shorts
as low as 25. Fur on them.
Yeah, well, that's probably part of it too, but I could probably wear shorts down to like 25 degrees and not be that bothered.
What are you doing in Florida?
Huh? We have a condo. It's vacation, spring break.
Wow, yeah, that's fun. Yeah. I'm just a poor servant of the Lord.
Yeah,
I don't
you
have
never
a condo
get any time
in Florida.
Off. Yeah, I don't have a condo either. We have access to one for 5 days.
Oh, well, that's nice. Yeah. I don't have.
Yeah, let's not get started.
I'm just going to stay here during Holy Week and serve the people.
Well, I am only going for half a week because it's Holy Week.
Oh, look at how that's so big of you.
Yeah. I'm like mostly responsible. Yep. Holy Week. What's Holy Week? Is that a thing we should pay attention to? Or a
little bit.
Yeah. Huh, weird. That's actually our question today. I submitted it. That's awesome. Well, welcome to Mixed Messages with Jeff Bogue. I'm Joe Caruso, and we are very glad that you're here. There is a lot of noise out there, and it's not always clear what to believe or how to live. And we want to help you sort through all the mixed messages around us and follow the way to Jesus. So let's go ahead and dig in. Jeff, Holy Week, what should we talk about that? Now, today we're going to get into this idea. Our listener uses a word that's, in some ways, I think the wording is words that you would really only hear if you're kind of a Christian subculture nerd.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that like the emotion behind it is experienced by a lot of people. They can kind of like sense it. And so I thought it was a fascinating question. Our listener says this. Well, first of all, I like how they start the question.
First of all.
They kind of like, you know, at the end we always say like, encourage us or whatever. Like not because we're needy, but just, you know, why not? Let's talk. They start off with, hey, Pastor Jeff and Joe, love the show, by the way. I mean, is there a better way to ask a question?
Boom. It's usually a setup,
yeah,
though.
This guy, this question got submitted 2 days ago, and it got bumped to the top. No, I'm just no, their question is this. How do you navigate through Christian consumerism? That's that word that might not be normal to some people. But how do you navigate through Christian consumerism where the churches, not Grace Church, that's what they say, sometimes mimic marketing strategies, or they put emphasis on putting a good quote-unquote show or product so they can gather a crowd. How do you disciple followers to not adapt a consumerist mindset or consumerist habits? Oftentimes, there'd be thousands of people showing up if they heard some kind of big worship band, like an Elevation Worship or a Hillsong or something that was really, really popular in the past. People even coming to town, and how does that compare to something like maybe we should gather and like pray together about what God's doing and the people around us or in our community? Then they kind of echo the beginning sentiments. It's amazing to be part of the Grace Movement, but share what keeps us grounded and focused on the mission as opposed to just trying to get a bunch of people to come through the doors.
Yeah, it's a good question. The actually, there's a lot of critics of Grace Church to say that we're consumer driven.
Sure,
so
yeah.
Which will lend myself to its answer a little bit. It's a good question. There is definitely what I call the Christian subculture, and there is Christian products. There's music. There's books. There's T-shirts. There's all kinds of things with Jesus's name plastered on it. And there is definitely a Christian industry. I think it's about a $4 billion a year industry. Which is tied to products and sales and all those kind of things. So that definitely exists. Here's the key word with consumerism. So is it consumerism or is it not consumerism? Here's the word. Ready? Motive. Motive is everything. Motive is everything. So when Elevation Worship came to town, I went to the concert. I loved their music. It was a wonderful night. They were up at the Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. I understand it takes money to buy tickets and have lights. I didn't feel like they were gouging me. I didn't feel ripped off. And I didn't feel like I was dishonoring Jesus in any way. There is, I call it Jesus junk. There's a lot of Jesus junk out there that I just absolutely cannot stand. Jesus playing soccer with your kid, Jesus, you know, on a surfboard, on a t-shirt. I don't like it. I don't want to be judgmental of the person wearing it, but like Grace Church will never produce it and sell it. there are books out there that are written. I think that they are shallow. I think that they are empty, and I think they abuse the scripture. They're in the same bookstore next to a book that is by my favorite authors that are deep, that are rich, that are meaningful, maybe even next to one of my books that I wrote, you know. So it's all motive. It's never the delivery mechanism. It's the reason for the delivery. So like one of the examples he used was like, you know, that church is showy. I'm like, well, define showy. Because is showy lights? Grace uses lights. Is showy fog? Grace uses fog because it actually makes the lights work properly. Big sound systems, well, we have, you know, if there's a big room, you need a big sound system to make it sound well. And then it's like, no, I mean performance-y. I'm like, well, what's a performance? You know, so I think there are performances that can honor God. There's performances that draw attention to man. And it really has to get down to the heart of the individual and the heart of the church or the organization and what they are doing, what they're trying to accomplish. I don't want a rock and roll show on Sunday mornings at Grace Church or Saturday nights. I also don't want like horrible music from people who can't sing. You know, so it's like, is that consumerism? I'm like, no, I think that's like doing the best with what we have, which is actually Grace Church's definition of excellence. Our definition of excellence is doing the best with what we have. And so the Bible says that we should do all things unto the Lord for his glory and for his purpose. So it's all of that. You know, I've been working on a sermon all morning today, and I have been in a fist fight with this sermon for 2 days. I'm not trying to get it to where I perform it well. I'm trying to get it to where the gospel of Jesus makes sense. And it's a kind of a difficult passage that I'm trying to explain to people. So I'm not trying to be funny or showy, but I'm like trying to do my very best to do those kind of things. So I think that's the deal. So in the question though, the question is, you know, how do we help people steer away from consumerism? That to me is a little bit of a different question. So should we watch concerts or should we, is The Chosen a product? I'm like, I love The Chosen. You know, I send them money because I'm like, I think they're making Jesus make sense. Is the next Hollywood production that has a Bible verse attached to it worthy? I'm like, I don't know, probably not. You know, but who knows? So you kind of have to sort your way through that stuff a little bit. Consumerism, if an organization is using marketing and show and flash to attract people to take from those people, that's bad motive. We use marketing at Grace because all marketing is communication. I do want everybody to know that Grace Church is here and that you can come engage the gospel here. So I don't think that's consumerism. I think that's the way that we communicate. We do use business practices because business practices are in their pure form are actually just how to love and interact with people well. So you can pollute it and be, you know, the stereotypical used car salesman who steals from people, or you can use it in a great way so that when people want to interact with you, it's simple for them to interact with you. Mm-hmm. So that's why we would have apps and websites. You know, we're just trying to make the barrier to Jesus as low as we can get it. So you have to look at motive with all of that. But I think the consumerism doesn't come from the seller. I think it comes from the buyer. Hmm. So I would want to be very disciplined here at Grace Church that we're never just selling the gospel or trying to make the church big so that we're the big church. If things grow, or if we're communicating, or if we're doing our best, I think that's what we should do. But I don't think consumerism comes from the seller. I think it comes from the buyer. So I don't think Walmart is consumeristic because its shelves are filled. I think Walmart's customer is a consumeristic because they want to buy everything on the shelf. Hmm. And so I've seen consumerism that is... He drew a contrast that is the prayer meeting. Mm-hmm. I want to be in a small group and I want to pray. I don't want to serve. I don't want to evangelize. I don't want to give. I just want to do this. I want a church that meets my needs, and mm-hmm. that can be bigger or that can be smaller.
Sure.
I don't want to give. I don't want to have a vision. I don't want to serve the people around me. I want to hear my preferences and lock into my preferences. So it's funny, like, organizations get accused of consumerism when in reality it's always from the individual. And what I would say to the individual is, if something is helping you draw close to God and love people, like a Hillsong concert, well, that's wonderful. What a wonderful gift that we mm-hmm. can spend 2 hours with, you know, other believers and worship together. And if that same concert is like your relationship with God and your excuse for not engaging with his people, then that concert is a stumbling block. But you're the one who made it that, not the people who wrote the songs who are putting them out there. I think finances is often pragmatic. The Bible is very clear that one of the clearest signs of a false teacher is the abuse of finances. It's not the use of finances. Mm-hmm. So if you're selling music and you take the profits and people support their families and you produce more music, and I'm like, it's great. They're not a church. They're a publishing company. Mm-hmm. You know, now if the church is selling seat licenses at church, I'm like, no, you're making the barrier to the gospel higher. See what I'm saying? So you would just kind of work it through, and you're going to wind up at the heart, at someone's heart, and where they are and what they're thinking about with it.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. It's all really what you said from both quote-unquote sides. It's all about that motive. It's all about that approach. Like, what are you trying to accomplish? Help our listeners, like, kind of maybe even think through a little bit of a grid on, like, if they're asking certain types of questions about their experience at a church, like, how would they know that maybe they're starting to teeter toward an unhealthy way of thinking about how they do church, and what would be maybe a different and more healthy way to start processing what is good or isn't good about a church?
I think when you love a program more than the people, and that's, you know, when you're all about the celebrity pastor is teaching, I enjoy the weekend. If he's not, I ducked out early. Mm-hmm. I didn't engage with anybody. I think when you have, when you will only participate in your preferences and will never sacrifice for another individual, mm-hmm. you know, my kids are out of the kids program. What do I care about it? Mm-hmm. Kind of a thing. The music's not the way I like it. As opposed to, look at all those young people that are here, you know, participating in it. So when the family, if we put this in a family relationship and you were a mom or a dad and you demanded that everything around the family center on you, we call you, rightly so, a narcissist. Mm. Well, that's what consumerism is. It's, I want what I want exactly the way that I want it. And instead of approaching the family of God with a servant's mindset, with a learner mindset, with being teachable, you're approaching with a set of preferences. And what happens in the kingdom of God, in the church especially, is we'll falsely label some of that spiritual maturity. This is what I mean, like consumerism comes from the heart. Mm-hmm. So I've had people, I remember one time in this conversation, this guy confronted me. He came from a different church, came to Grace for a while, loved Grace at first, and then got discontent. And he said, he goes, I'm leaving the church. I'm like, okay. And he's like, because Grace is shallow. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, well, your teaching is shallow. I'm like, what do you mean by that? He's like, and what he meant was I wasn't using enough Hebrew and Aramaic, and I wasn't talking about the punctuation and the sentences. He was talking about I wasn't teaching a certain way. He wasn't mm-hmm. talking about what I was teaching. And he's like, well, it has resulted in a shallow church. And I looked at him. I said, I don't know how a shallow church plants 9 churches. Mm. You love the fruit and hate the tree. And I'm like, what you're saying doesn't make sense. You prefer a different style. He's like, that's right. I said, do you think our teaching is wrong? He goes, no. I said, do you think it's sinful? He goes, no. I go, so it's your preference. It's your preference. And what you're saying to me is, I don't love this family enough to give up my preferences. Hmm. Well, that's not what I'm saying. I'm like, but it is. What you're saying you like our church planning, you love our youth program, you like the, but you want me to teach a different way, and I'm not going to. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying to you, I don't think what you're saying is wrong. I just think you're demanding it from your church. You could get it from a podcast or somebody else's sermons, but you're demanding it from your church, and you don't love the family enough to put your preferences away. Mm-hmm. Well, that's consumerism.
Sure.
He would have considered that to be spiritual maturity. Mm-hmm. I'm like, no, it's actually wildly immature mm-hmm. Because this family is not about my preferences. And I would say, in some ways, this is the advantage of like our access to music and teaching and stuff like that, that my church doesn't have to provide all of it for me. Do you know that here at Grace Church, we have never once ever sung the type of music I like the most?
Knowing what you like the most, I'm actually grateful for that. But
yeah. Never once, never mm-hmm. once ever have yep. we sang one song. And I'm being literal.
Yep.
Never once ever one song in the style I like the most. So I'm actually
predictably, we never will.
Yeah, we probably never will. I'm actually grateful that I can go buy it on iTunes mm-hmm. or make a list on Spotify. Mm-hmm. So I'm grateful it's out there. But if I looked and said, I'm going to a church that sings real music, mm-hmm. I'm talking about my preferences. I'm not talking about my convictions. That's very different than saying, I'm leaving the church because you guys don't preach Jesus.
Right.
So that consumerism shows up a billion different ways, and that's what I'm saying. It comes from the individual. It actually doesn't come from mm-hmm. the organization. If the organization, if a church, for instance, is like money-driven or growth-driven or like, you know, watering down the gospel, those aren't consumer conversations. Those are fidelity to Scripture conversations, mm-hmm. and that's a very, very serious conversation.
Sure.
But the preferences part of it, that's how we work through that, is I know that I'm struggling with that a little bit when I'm not talking about people, mm-hmm. when I'm in and out and I'm wondering whether I should be a part of the church based on just the preaching of the music as opposed to the relationships, when I don't even know the mission of the church or what we're doing or why we're doing it, because the mission of the church is not weekend services.
Right.
It's a function of the church. When I'm spending no time hanging out in the lobbies or being in a group, mm-hmm. I'm basically kind of saying, like, Jeff, entertain me, and then I'm going to go. Mm-hmm. It's things like that where I don't sacrifice. Like, I'm really, really glad there's programs for the kids, but I don't tithe.
Sure.
I use. Mm-hmm. That's consumerism. Mm-hmm. So just things like that. But anything that is rooted in, like, I love these people and I want to be in this together, and of course this is all grounded in Christ, what are we doing next? I always find it fascinating and wonderful, like, when empty nesters and grandparents give generously so we can build spaces for kids, mm-hmm. spaces they'll never use. Mm-hmm. When older adults get out of the way and give up their preferences so that young adults can have the building, mm-hmm. the building they didn't pay for, I'm like, now we're humming. Like, stuff like that's cool. Mm-hmm. And then I also think it's okay when once in a while we do something and it's like, oh, that was like my favorite thing. Like, I really love it when we do that. I'm like, that's okay too.
Yeah.
You know, it's all part of being a part of it.
I was just talking with a couple just a few weeks ago, and they are grandparents on the verge of being great grandparents, and they serve in our Power Kids ministry almost weekly, and they love it. Like, to the point where they're like, how can we maximize the space to get more families in here? How can we free up young parents to, like, really engage the worship while we will to care for their children? They don't personally have any kids or grandkids yeah. in there, but they understand and they're passionate about those things. You really hit on something, and I wonder if, even just thinking, like, if we asked ourselves, do you see your church more like an extension of your family or more like an extension of the marketplace? Because if you see it as the marketplace, you're like, I don't prefer that store. I don't like to go to that. I would rather shop up near Beechwood and Legacy Village as opposed to just going down the Montrose. I would rather. Well, that's leaning heavily into your preferences because you right. almost think of it literally as a consumer versus your family. I mean, imagine, we'll use grandparents again because I was just talking about this couple, if they're like, oh, my kids did not have enough grandbabies. I'm going to change families.
Yeah.
You know, or vice versa. My kids had way too many grandkids. I did not expect to have 19 little ones running around all the time.
I think that's my future, Joe.
I think it is. but even if, let's pretend suddenly it wasn't. Let's pretend most of your kids decided not to or couldn't have a bunch of children. You're not like, well, I'm giving up on them. I'm going to find new ones because it didn't play out the way you want. You dive into and love your family.
Yeah, I think that there are consumerism things. Like, I am a guy that I do a lot of building in my free time and the property we own and stuff like that. And I really enjoy it. It's like a hobby.
One day you should bring in Guinness World Records. You might have one day the largest stone patio.
Yeah, I hope ever. So. Ooh, dare to dream, Joe. Uh-huh. So I am a guy that, like, I actually prefer Home Depot over Lowe's.
Sure.
And I don't like going to Lowe's. And I'm sorry if you work at Lowe's, but I like going to Home Depot. And I go there minimum of a weekly basis.
Wow.
Right? So that is consumerism. Mm-hmm. That is different than, and it's fine consumerism.
Sure.
Right? It's choice, not a sin, blah, blah. That is different than me looking and saying, I prefer homeless people over single moms. Mm-hmm. That's a completely different conversation mm-hmm. because it's all relationships
yeah.
and it's needs. And so when we're like, I like blah, blah church over blah, blah church, I'm like, no. Now, I'm not saying if you move into town, don't look at several churches, but instead of saying their product's better, their times are better, their, you know, blah, blah, the things I would think about Home Depot, you're looking and saying, where do I feel like a family? Where am I needed? Mm-hmm. Where am I a part of God's plan to build or expand that church? And how do I participate in it? And then there is a very much so like a relational click mm-hmm. that helps there. But what if you looked for a church based on need mm-hmm. instead of preference?
Sure.
What if you looked on a church? What if you looked for a church that needed your giving mm-hmm. instead of had programs that met all your needs? Mm. You just switch that around, and then what happens is where we get like judgy, and I'm like, well, now you're not knowing us relationally. So, like, for instance, biggest myth of a big church is we don't need you.
Oh my. Yep.
1,300 mm-hmm. people a month just to have weekend services. Mm-hmm. Second biggest myth of a big church is we got all kinds of money coming out of our mm-hmm. ears. I mean, we've been working on budgets. Mm-hmm. We're like, how are we going to do this? Mm-hmm. You know, and we have to be careful we don't do it on the back of the staff.
Right.
You know, so, but see, you, unless you know the family, you don't know those things. Mm-hmm. So that's the difference. The difference is assumptions. The difference is preferences. The difference is, as opposed to, where is God calling me and what does he want me to be a part of? And I feel very strongly, I know you agree with me on this, I don't think that when God looks at the greater Akron area, he looks at Grace Church. I think he looks at the Church of Akron. Mm-hmm. That's why I don't think everybody should come to Grace.
Right.
I think everybody should be involved in the Church of Jesus Christ in Akron. And Grace is a part of that. And the people who God is calling to be a part of his church that we call Grace Church, welcome home. But we don't think that we're the sole destination mm-hmm. because we're not competing.
No.
You know, I'm not, Lakeside's just down the road from us. Wonderful pastor. His mm-hmm. name's Peter. Wonderful church. Complete night and day from Grace. I mean, it's not Lowe's and Home Depot. It's like Home Depot and some wonderful story.
Yeah.
Like kind of thing. It's just completely different thing. Not even the same things, but wonderful. Mm-hmm. Wonderful, and you will be loved there, mm-hmm. and you will be taught God's word there, and the kingdom of God is alive there, mm-hmm. and it's nothing like us. Mm-hmm. So thank the Lord, there's two of us on one street.
Yep,
because we can be used by God in a certain way, and they're used by God in another way. And I did not say in a greater way.
No. Well, Paul in 1 Corinthians 9, he talks about being all things to all men, and in some ways, the church of a city can be that to its community.
Yeah.
Peter and Lakeside are reaching and connecting with a different group of people in our community than we do or we would, and vice versa, and that's fantastic.
Yeah, and we love each other, mm-hmm. and we respect each other. And sometimes our people float back and forth because maybe there's a need that we meet, and there's a need, but they're not leaving the congregations mm-hmm. per se. And I just, we could talk about Remedy Church. We could talk about Connect Church. We could talk about Compass North. We could, the chapel, we could go on and on and on. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, so I would look and say, find that place that you are needed, where God is using you. It might be big, it might be little. That's different than I like it here, I don't like it here. It's mm-hmm. convenient here, it's not convenient here. And that all plays in a little bit because it clicks a little bit.
Yep.
That some of the church transfer growth that I don't get nervous about is when a person or maybe a family comes and I say, "What are you guys doing here?" "Well, we went to so and so church. We love them. We respect them. There's no tension. Okay, why are you here? We wanted our kids." To go to church with kids that go to the same school system so they could reach their school. I'm like, okay, that's a reason mm-hmm. that you would geographically shift things around.
It's missional, it's God-honoring.
Yeah. There's several reasons like that. Mm-hmm. And then I would say to you guys, the Word of God and the person of Jesus Christ is not a consumer question. If the Word of God is not being taught faithfully, then that the church is wrong. It's not different. Mm-hmm. If Jesus is not being truly taught, the church is wrong. It's not different. And those are the kind of things that you're just weighing all the time with it.
I want to encourage, as you potentially are coming to these conclusions, whether you're someone at Grace or if you're a listener as a part of a different church, like, also don't make assumptions. I know you mentioned a few minutes ago, like, people assume because things are semi well run that there's not a need for them. That couldn't be farther from the truth. Like, go ask. You and I have both interacted with leaders over the years that just like, yeah, I just assume you didn't need me. Or like, we're begging for people like you yeah. to get more involved. And we just don't hear it at the right times or in the right ways. But you and I both obviously work with all the departments of our church. There is not a department at Grace Church, as an example, Bath Campus, that doesn't need more leaders or volunteers attached to it.
No, 100% not.
Like, not could use, not could slide you in or fit you in. Like, they're like, no, we could really use more teammates because the mission keeps expanding.
The mission keeps expanding. And you talk about need, you talk about money, same mm-hmm. way. You know, we're trying to figure out a budget gap because the mission expands. It's not because, you know, there's a private jet somewhere, but God keeps entrusting us. We keep trying to be faithful with that. And I believe that God, if God has brought you to Grace Church, the reason he brought you to Grace Church is because he wants to do something through Grace Church that he's not yet doing. Mm-hmm. And so you're a part of that. That's the reason why you're here. That's the reason why you give here. That's the reason why you serve here. Maybe that's the reason why you live here. And that's true of every church, and that's what he's up to. I would also, adding to your assumption thing, Joe, whether you go to Grace or you listen to this, you go to a different church, talk to your leaders, like talk to your pastor. I can't tell you how many times over the years somebody has had something on their heart, it festered, they got frustrated, and maybe they finally talked to me or it surfaced in front of me, and the core assumption was wrong. Mm-hmm. Like, well, you said that everything was red. I'm like, I didn't say that. Mm-hmm. Where'd you hear from? Well, so-and-so said it. I don't know what you're talking about. Like, I literally don't know what you're talking mm-hmm. about. And so that this is the family part of it. Like, love each other enough. And then there are times, I can't tell you, over the years, there's many times where I'm like, no, I actually you're actually right. I made a mistake, or I shouldn't have, or mm-hmm. will you forgive me? And it's, you know, letting your leaders be human beings and forgive and love each other too. But that a consumer just like, I'm sick of Lowe's, I'm never going back, mm-hmm. you know, kind of a thing. And I'm like, that's not the way the family of God works. And all of that, I'm not giving like clear-cut answers to our listeners' question. It all feeds in, and it all, when we act like, talk like, think like, and are motivated like Jesus and we love each other that way, it pushes against all those negative things. Mm-hmm. When we're not grounded in him, it allows room for all those negative things. And what I would say to all of us is, I'm like, from the church side and the participant side, so to say, the organization side and the customer side, so to say, like, just work at Christ-likeness and mm-hmm. all of that. It corrects the motives. It heals the relationships. It lets you find your place. And the Bible is super clear, like human beings, even brothers and sisters in Christ, offend and sin against each other. Mm-hmm. So even that part of it, like, well, yeah, we got to work at it, you know, and try to love each other that way as well. You do that, you won't wind up in the pit of consumerism when it comes to the church.
Yep.
if you don't do that, then that's actually all you have left at the end of the day.
Yeah. I think shifting from some version of what's in it for me to how does God want to use me, it's just a totally night and day mindset of what we bring to the table. And I don't know. I hope people are like soaking this in, because there's so much purpose and potential and connection and richness in flipping the script from having that consumer mindset to being a part of the family of God. It literally can change people's lives.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I appreciate our listener sending this in. I know we were appreciative of your encouragement as we opened this up, but truly the question is great, because I think a lot of us can be tempted or even accidentally drift into that from time to time. So I think it's great to talk about, so thank you for that. If you have questions you'd like us to tackle, you can head over to bath.gracechurches.org/mixed messages and send them our way. And again, we'd also love to hear how these conversations are helping you. So even in this case, maybe how have you been encouraged to step forward and say, I want to help, I want to be a part of things, I want to shift that mindset. Reach out, let us know. If you're enjoying the podcast, you can subscribe, follow, rate, and review to help others find it too. And of course, we'd love to see you at Grace this weekend if you don't have another church that you call home, whether in person or whether you begin to check us out online. Thanks so much for jumping in with us today as we continue to seek God's voice through all of the mixed messages around us. We'll see you next time.